The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Masechet Ketubot has been dedicated by our dear friend Mr. Elliot Shasho. Hashem Yishmineu V'Hayehu. May the zikut of the limud of Masechet Ketubot stand for him that he should have Be'azat Hashem, Hashanah Tovah Mborechet, Osher Ve'osher Ve'chavod, Shalom Bayit V'Hatzlacha Bechol Ma'aseh Yadav. And Be'azat Hashem, may he continue to be a supporter of Torah and all holy projects. Amen. Today's daf has been dedicated by Mr. Uri Nidam, Hashem Yishmineu V'Hayehu, in honor of all the members of the Minyan, all the members of the Daf HaYomi, and in honor of the Rabbi, Tiskel Mitzvot, may he continue to succeed. Aslaha V'Arvaha B'Chol Ma'asi Yadav. Amen. Daf Kof. Today's daf is being studied in Nishmat Avraham ben Esther. Ruach Hashem, Tanihenu Begin Eden. Amen. Today's daf is being studied in Fuash Shel Ma Yosef ben Sarah, Vesarah Bat Rahel. El Na Refer Lem, El Na Refer Lem, El Na Refer Lem, Fata Nefesh, Fata Guf. Fuatam, Kerebal Rechen Yino Somen Omar. Amen. Vahaslachat Yosef ben Simcha. We are at Saddi Tet Amud Bet, and we are starting from the Mishnah on the bottom of the Amud, and the Mishnah begins, Shuma Dayanim. Let's say you have a situation over here where the judges are making an evaluation, which means the Almana is selling properties, okay, in order to get her her ketubah, let's say. Mm. Or, in generally speaking, but Betin is selling properties of a yetomim, for example, and they make a mistake in their evaluation of the field. So, Shuma Dayanim Shepihato Shetut, which means they were under-evaluated the field by a sixth, or Hosifu Shetut, or they over-evaluated the field by a sixth, Machran Batel. So, Tarekama says, the Meche, that sale is officially batel. So comes the Gemara and says, Rashbashbanchim and Gamliel Omer, Nechran Kayam. Rashbach says, no. Betin makes a mistake by a sixth. The sale is a sale. Why? Imken makoach Betin yafeh. So what's the power of Betin then? The Betin, you're putting Betin in charge, you got to give them ability to evaluate. And if they make a mistake within a sixth, the Chaurah, we should give them the power. And then the sale is going to be a sale. Aval imasu igeret bikoret b'nehem. But if they made what's called igeret bikoret. Igeret bikoret is another way of saying hakraza. Hakraza means, in the olden days, before they would sell a field, they would announce it for 30 days, let's say. There's a field for sale. And everybody would, you know, start bidding on it. They would usually get the best price when they would make this igeret bikoret, when they would make this inspection announcement, so to speak, right? Afilu machlan shaveh maneh b'matayim. In that case over there, even if, let's say, they end up selling the field that's worth only 100, and they sold it for 200, they overvalued it by double, or shaveh matayim b'maneh, or the opposite, they devaluated it by half, mechran kayam. Then the mechir is going to be kayam. Rashi, igeret bikoret, hachraza. Velashon bikoret shemevakrin ota bnei adam ayde achraza. Because everybody comes and inspects the field. What do they do when they make achraza? Everybody comes to the field, looks at it. Say, no, I'll give you this amount, give you that amount. So when there's bikoret on the field, whatever the price they end up selling it for, you could assume that's the fair market price. Because everybody looked at the field, everybody analyzed the field. You're going to usually get closer to the right amount. Right of the field, because there was igeret bikoret. That's not so reckless by Betin. If according to Tanakh, if Stam Betin sold it without a bikoret, you have the astute flexibility whether the mech is mikayam or not. But if there's bikoret on the field, the mech achrazah, where everybody's looking at the field and all that one. So eventually, when Betin sells it, you say that was the price that that the market was selling, because everybody would, in fact, look at the field and inspect it, and therefore the sale is going to be a mecher, it will be sold regardless. Now, correct. Now, the question they ask is like this. To my fashion, which is a very, very, very strong question. Well, I understand if Betin, let's say, comes along and devaluates the field from the Yetomim and sells it. Okay, Mechran Batil.
But if they were Mosif Shtut, if they were able to get like more money for the Yatomim, why is it Mechram Batel? We should say good for them. And the Yatomim are not sad at all. They're happy, beautiful. Betin negotiated for us wonderfully. They got more than the Shtut. So why should we say Mechram Batel? That's the question that the Mefarshim say. So he says, he says, "Mevaer she'achamim kavu bo kede shelo yehevdel ben zikuyot ha'mocher v'alokeh b'mchira achat." We didn't want to give advantages in one transaction to the seller over the buyer, because that would be not fair. Which means we're only giving advantage to the seller here. If it's less than a shtut, the sale is batel. More than a shtut, sale is kayam. So the buyer, gets a disadvantage over here. So in one sale, the rabbis don't want to show. It's lopsided now. Mm-hmm. I mean, no matter what, if as long as it's higher than the price, the sales kayam. So the buyer comes and says, well, who's protecting me over here? Mm-hmm. Betin's only out for the protection of the seller. But the buyer has no rights. So in that one transaction, they wanted to make it fair. So that's what they said. Shtut on one side and shtut on the other side in order to keep it fair. That's the way the Mefarshim want to understand. Okay, comes the Gemara and continues. Comes Gemara and says, "Ibailu shaliach keman." Who do we look at the shaliach like? Rashi, shaliach keman, shaliach deta'a. Okay, shaliach made a mistake. Let's say in the price, Yitumim tell the shaliach, "Do me a favor, go sell this field for us over here." Now they made a mistake. Keman dayninande. Who do we look at them like? Kealmana dayninande. Shebetaut kol dehu batel. If you look at the shaliach like the almana, so the almana that makes any sort of mistake, it's batel kiditnan. Shave bane v'dinar b'mane machra batel. We learned in the last mishnah. What do we learn in the last mishnah? If the lady sells a field that was worth 101, and she sells it for 100, machra batel. So on the almana itself, there's zero leeway. Even if she's off by one dinar in the evaluation, mechram batel. Or kedayanimu ve'adetah b'shtut. Or do you look at the shaliach like a bet din? And if you look at him like bet din, so you have that sixth flexibility either way. Shtut. That's the shaliach of the Gemara. Shaliach that's selling a field for the yitomim. Do you look at him like an almana that is zero leeway? That if he's off in his evaluation even by a dinar, batel, or do you look at it like the dayanim, where the field is going to be, or you have a sixth flexibility either way? Yeah. Comes the Gemara and says, Rava Amar of Nachman Shaliach kedayanim. Yeah, Shaliach is exactly like the dayanim, like the judges. We have a sixth. Rav Shmuel Bar Bisna Amar of Nachman kealmana. No, the din is like a almana. Now the Gemara explains each one of the shitot. Rava Amar of Nachman, Shaliach kedayanim. The Shaliach is like the dayanim. Ma dayanim. Lav lididu. Why is it similar? Just like the dayanim. They're not buying for them. They're not selling for themselves. They're selling on behalf of the yetomim. So af shaliach name lav lididu. So to the shaliach, when he's selling the field, he's not selling it for himself. He's selling it on behalf of the Yatum. So therefore, the shaliach and the dayanim have something in common. They're both selling it on behalf of a third party. Rashi, lav lididu, lav lesorek atzman mochrim. And the Gemara says, lapuke almana. But to the exclusion of almana, dildide. Which means, almana is selling it for herself. So therefore, we're more stringent on her. Because there's more chance she just wants to sell and get her money. So she might not be careful on the price. So then when it comes to somebody selling for her own purposes, we give them no leeway. But when it comes to betin, we say they're more objective in the sale. Because they're not selling it for themselves as well as the shaliach. He wants to sell the field, but he's not getting the money himself. So therefore he considers shaliach like dayanim. Rav Shmuel bar Bisna amar Rav Nachman ke almana. Ma almana yehida av shaliach yahid, which means he looks at it like this, just like an almana is when she's selling the field, she's alone. So to the shaliach is alone. Lapuke bedin derabim ninhu, which means he looks at it like when the almana is selling it alone, there's less scrutiny when she's selling it alone. You know, she's on her own. There's no checks and balances. And the same thing with the shaliach. So he's alone. So therefore, we're going to put more scrutiny on him. When Betin sells it, I bet in this group. So it'll be more precise. So therefore, when it comes to the shaliach, according to the shita, no room for mistake in the sale. Just like the almana. Mashiach and the beti, we give them the flexibility of a sixth. Bilchetat, what's the halakha, bottom line in this case over here? Shaliach ke almana. Ma'am al-shaz, he didn't have almana. Therefore, when he's selling property, he has to sell it exactly for the price. Cannot be off even by a dinar. Comes the Gemara and says, actually, there is one question that we have to address over here. We're talking about a shaliach, right? That's selling things. So according to what we're understanding, that you're telling me shaliach has a din, let's say, of a bed din, where they can go, let's say, shtut, you know, have either way flexibility. We learned earlier on the Amud Bet of Tzaditet Amud Bet that can't the Meshaleach tell the Shaliach the Tikkunesh Datich Velole Avati? She's forget about the Shtut factor. Shtut factor is not an issue. You have to come along and can't always the one that's sending him sales. I send you for my advantage, not for my disadvantage. Forget about the Shtut and all this on our business. Bottom line, I can mivatel a sale on anything. If I feel that I could have got more money, and you put me at a disadvantage, he could always mivatel based on that sevarav the tikkunes shadratich velo avati. Now what's the Gemara coming along to say? Shtut and less than shtut. So the Tosafot wants to learn based on this that Gemara over there was only talking about where the mistake was more than a shtut. But if less than a shtut mistake, you don't have that claim to say tikkunes shadratich velo avati. That's considered tikkun. As long as you're within a sixth of the price, that's a tikkun. But if it's more than a sixth of the chadami, then that shita comes out. So it's a very important understanding in how we learn the Gemara. But comes the Gemara and says, "Umay shena mehad etnan." So why is it different than that which we learned in the Mishnah? Ha'omer l'shiluho. Guy tells his shaliach, "Tse." Vitrum, go take out Tiruma for me. Torem kedat balabayit. He doesn't know how much the guy wants, right? So he takes according to when he assesses the balabayit. To want to take vimenu yodeya, that tosha balabayit. If he doesn't know the data of the balabayit, Torem bebenonit. So he takes what? Achat, 1/50. Pichet asara, uasif asara. Let's say he gave more than a tenth, more, meaning 1/40, or less, he gave 1/60. Tirumato, Tiruma. Oh, so what do you see over here? You see over here that the shaliach, he has leeway. You tell me that shaliach ka'almana. Tawat, there's no leeway if he makes a mistake, even a dinar, the thing is batel. What do you mean? The shaliach that wants to take teruma, he makes a mistake over here within a tenth, we say, the mekah is kayam, the teruma is kayam. Kevra says, no, hatam. Kevan di'ika de torem ba'ayin ra'av, di'ika de torem ba'ayin yafav. Over there are standards already. They're given standards. There's people that give Ayin Yafa 1/40. There's people that give in the marginally way Ayin Ra'a 1/60. Amar le l'achi amatich. So the Shaliach come along and say, that's why I assessed you, which means I was following a guide. I was following a pattern. There's a pattern of people over there. Aval acha tau tau. But here, stam the Shaliach can tell him, what were you following over here? You made a mistake. You undersold the property. There's no minhag in how you sell a property. You sell the property according to its price. So you sold it less than its price. So therefore, fact, the book says the price. The book, the field is worth 101. You sold it for 100. What do you say? I evaluated you that you're a guy that sells fields for 101 for 100. There's no such thing. So therefore, in that case, it's going to be come along and say, listen, we know there's different groups of people, and I evaluated you according to that group, and therefore the mikah is going to be kayam. Comes the Gemara and continues. Right, aval hacha tau tau. Amalen is going to tell him, you shouldn't have made a mistake. There was no room for you to make a mistake in this case. Amar Avuna Bar Hanina Amar of Nachman Halacha Kedivre Hachamim. Rav Nachman says the Halacha follows the opinion of the Hachamim. What's the opinion of the Hachamim? The Hachamim in our Mishnah. Who's the Shita of the Hachamim in our Mishnah? Shuma Dayanim. The evaluation of the judges that were less than a shtut or more than a shtut, Mechram Bater. She's by Betin, their maximum amount is up to a sixth when they make their evaluations on field. But if they make a mistake more than a sixth or less than a sixth, Mechram Batel. Not like Rabban Gamliel, Rashbag. Rashbag held, What do you mean? We're giving Betin power. That's the koah. When you put it in their hands, they have the right to. If they make them, devaluation or more, it's okay. Halakha follows like Hakamim, at least according to Rav Nachman. Yeah. So comes the Gemara and asks. V'leitu Rav Nachman, makoah Betin yafeh. Why Rav Nachman doesn't hold of the sevara like Rashbag that says? Then where's the power of Betin? Meaning, Chavra Betin should have more flexibility. He doesn't hold like that. Why? The Amar of Nachman. Nachman himself said, Amar Shmuel, Yetumim shebao lachlok b'nechsei abihim. Let's see if Yetumim. Mm-hmm. Okay, their father died, so they're coming out to split or divide the estate. Betin ma'amidim nahem apotropos. So Betin appoints an apotropos to each Yetum to fend for them. Yetumim cannot fend for themselves, so they get like an administrator, the Betin appoints, and each Yetum now has like an administrator that's going to, deal with them. And the job of the apotropos is to make sure that each one that they're representing gets a halek yafeh. Now let's say the Yetumim got older, yichodim nimchot. They're able to come along and argue and say, yeah, we don't want this piece over here. Rav Nachman dideh amar, but Rav Nachman himself said, higdilu en yichodim nimchot. No, it's over. When the Yetumim get older, they cannot be more. You know why? They became makwach betin yafeh. Because then what did Betin do? Betin appoints apotropos. So if you tell me you can override the apotropos, so what's the power of Betin? So you see why Rav Nachman gives the power to Betin. So how can Rav Nachman himself come along and say, Hakamim and al-Mishnahad, that when Betin made a devaluation of a shtud, mekach batel. What do you mean? You yourself hold of the sivara of imkem makwach betin yafeh? Lakashia. There's no question. Had it ta'u, had it lo ta'u. So I think I'm going to give an answer. Hey, one case they made a mistake, and one case they didn't make a mistake. In the Mishnah, they made a mistake. But in the case of the Yetomim, they didn't make a mistake. The Apotropos, they did good. They gave each one of their clients a good chilek. So the Gemara says, "Ide lo ta'u b'ma yichulim l'mchot." So what are they complaining about then? When they get older, it says the Yetomim, they cannot complain. According to Rav Nachman, you learn the case where they got good. Yeah. The fields were valuable. There was no ta'ut. So what are they complaining? So the Gemara says, Beruchot. They're complaining in direction, in placement. Which means, exactly, as she explains, let's say the Yetomim, they get a great field, meaning nice size, quality and everything good, but it's on the east side. Now, this Yatom, he got another inheritance from his mother's father that put him a field in the west. So he'd rather now have his inheritance from his father also in the west so he can make his field bigger. So that's what he's complaining. That's considered already not the Apotropos' fault. That's why Rav Nachman comes along and says, Lo ta'u. There was no mistake of it. The Apotropos did fine, gave him a nice field. You're coming out, you have a claim because you want to get a better, a different direction you want to get your field in? That's already not a claim. Therefore, we go, Imken ma kawa betin yafeh. Mashiach and now Mishnah, I'm sure they made a mistake in the evaluation. They went up a six or less than six. Then already, even though there's going to be more there, that the Mekah is going to be Batel. Comes the Gemara continues, Ki Atar Avdimi, when Avdimi came from Eretz et Bavel, Amar, he said, Ma'aseh ve'asar Rabbi k'divrei HaChamim. It was a story where Rabbeinu HaKadosh followed the opinion of the HaChamim, which means Betin sold the property more than a sixth or less than a sixth, and the Rabbi said, Mekah Batel. He nullified the sale. Amar lefanav pirata. So came a rabbi called Pirata. Who was Pirata? Beno shel Rabbi Elazar ben Pirata. Which means Rabbi Elazar's father was called Pirata. And Rabbi Elazar had a son that was also called Pirata. So Pirata was the grandfather and Pirata was also the grandson. Uben beno shel Rabbi Pirata Gadol. It was also the grandson of Rabbi Pirata Hagadol. So that was like the names of the families. They would just go, they had a son, and then Pirata, and then the next name would be Azad, the next one was called Pirata, after their grandfather. Imken, so what did the rabbi come along and say? Ma kowach bedin yafeh. He told Rabbi Hagadol, he said, what do you mean? If you're going to start nullifying Betin's valuations, what kowach are you giving to Betin? The Azir Rabbi Tama'aseh. According to the Gemara, Rabbi was Hozer, which means he established it according to the first evaluation that they made, and they said that we're not returning the property, which is he retracted. Comes Gemara, gives a different version of the story. Avdimi Matniach, and Avdimi has a different version of the story. That was Avdimi. Rav Safra has the version like this. Maaseh. Same story. Wanted to follow the Shita of the Hachamim where there was a mistake in the evaluation. What are you doing over here? Taking away the power of Betin. Said, Lo asa Rabbi et ha-ma'aseh. So according to this version, Rabbi didn't do the Ma'aseh. So what are the difference between the versions? In the first version, it seems he did it already and then he just reversed it. Here it's Mashman, this episode, he didn't do anything yet. He was about to make the sale go through. He was about to nullify it. And at the end, he didn't nullify. Lo asad a bi, ma'asid. So we have to see what the nafka mina between the versions is. Either he was Hozer, or lo asad ma'asid. So Gemara says, lema be'akam pelgi. Let's say the machlok between Avdimi's version of the story and Rav Safra's version of the story is as follows. Mor sabar. Tara b'davar mishnah chozer, umor sabar enu chozer. Let us say that the machloket is based on a famous shita in Masechet Sanhedrin. In Tara b'davar mishnah, what is Tara b'davar mishnah? Let's say a rabbi makes a mistake on something that's beferush in a mishnah, and the Beit Din makes a mistake on something explicitly that's written in the mishnah. So we have a machlok and a masechet sanhedrin exactly what you're supposed to do in that case over there. So someone is say, if they made a mistake on something that's explicitly in the Mishnah, so the deen is, it's batel, the sale is nullified, and therefore, nothing happened. And some say, no, ta'abed v'ad Mishnah, you keep everything where it is, but the dayanim, the judges themselves have to pay out of their pocket now to compensate for the loss of the that they made a ruling. So is it a rule that you just return everything back, or you say no, keep everything where it is, but you made a mistake in the Bar Mishnah, we penalize the judges, you gotta now pay out of pocket. Now let's see according to both versions which one's holding what. So let's read the Rashi. Rav Dimi and Rav Safra, right? This machlok between Rav Dimi and Rav Safra. Reading Rashi, Rav Dimi savar dayan atoe b'davar mishnah shelo asa k'mishnah. He didn't follow the din of the mishnah. Chozer velo amrinan ma she'asa asui v'yishalim v'beto. Which means we don't say that whatever is done is done and he has to pay from his pocket. Elo, we say what? Chozer. And that's, if you look at the first Girsa, what was the language? V'hazir rabbi et ha-ma'aseh. Hazir means he retracted, which means what happened? Betin made a mistake, let's say, on an evaluation of a field, more than a sixth. So rabbi originally had like the hakamim that said what? Mechran? Batil. So what? He came along and they nullified. Then he came along and said parta. What are you talking about? You don't go with the imkin makoch bedin yafi. You don't go like Karashbag. He said, oh, you gave me good sevara. So what do you do? He said, no, give the field back. The field stands. The sale stands. Everything is fine. That's according to Davdimi. Ela b'to'e b'shikul ha-da'at. According to Davdimi, the only time the dayan has to pay from his own pocket, if he makes a mistake, b'shikul da'at. That's like in sevara. But if he makes a mistake, instead of b'firush in the Mishnah, he just, return the acquisition back, but he doesn't have to pay from his pocket. And this also is a case of Dvar Mishnah. Even though you'll tell me, what do you mean, it's Dvar Mishnah? The Mishnah also has a Shitav Hakamim. So they really weren't Tu'eh with Dvar Mishnah in this case. If you look at the Mishnah, there's two Shitot in the Mishnah. The Shitav Hakamim, Shitav, Rashbag. So he says, no. But Rashbag gave a reason for his Shitah. So that's already, once you have a Mishnah which is giving you Sivara, so you're giving your logic. Hakim didn't give their logic, so therefore you got to go with the logic. So if it's considered Ta'abed Vad Mishnah, so the first sheet out of Dimiel, Ta'abed Vad Mishnah, what do? You void the transaction, the Dayanim are not obligated to pay from their pocket. V'Rav Safra, She'enu Shone Asa V'Azir. Right, in Rav Safra's version, it doesn't say the transaction went through and then he retracted it. Savar imasa lo yayachol la'azir. Because he learned, because if they would have done the transaction, it would have been hal, and the judges would have had to make the compensation. That's why his version, Safra's version was what? Lo asa vihazir. They caught the mistake before the action was actually transacted. Because if it was transacted, according to this one, you're stuck now, judge. Rabbi would have to pay the difference from his pocket. That's the way we want to understand the Mahalik din Rav Dimi and Rav Savra. Ta'ab, Adlar, Mishnah. How far do you go? Do the judges have to pay from their pocket? Or do we just say that you could just not void the transaction? Comes the governor and says, no. לא, I can argue. לכולי עלמא, תרב את דבר משנה, חוזר. I can tell you that everybody holds that if the judge made a mistake and the דבר משנה חוזר, the transaction is just nullified. מור סבר אחי אבי מעשה. Which is Rav Dimi holds that what? They have a מחלוקת on the tradition of the story. There was only one story here. That a מחלוקת in the tradition, what exactly happened in this episode? So mor sabar achi ave maase, mor sabar achi ave maase, which means Rav Dimi heard the story from his rabbis that what that they actually were chozer, which means once Rabbi realized that he was talking about the Mishnah, he nullified the transaction, took the field back, and it was over. Rav Safra's version of it was what that lo asa Rabbi ta maase, that they caught it before the actual transaction took place. But in the Chidam, if the transaction would have took place, it would have stood. And he would they would have to return it, which means according to this answer, really, I'll tell you, everybody holds Ta'abed Var Mishnah Chozer. You make a mistake in the Mishnah, it's void, the sale's void. But what the machlokti in these two rabbis over here is what happened in the story. They're not arguing in Deen. The first rabbi of Deen held what happened in the story. They caught it after it was done already. So therefore the language of the story was what? Hazir. They had to return the fields. The second version of the story of Safra was what? They caught it before they did the Ma'aseh. But in the Chinam, if they would have done the Ma'aseh, they also would have been Chozer. Because everybody else, Ta'abed Ba'amishnah, Chozer. So don't make a diuk from the language of the story on what they hold. Everybody holds Ta'abed Ba'amishnah, the sale is void, and the field goes back, let's say, to the original owner. And why did it say, they caught it before the Ma'aseh? Because that's what happened. They caught it before the Ma'aseh. But if they would have caught it after the Ma'aseh, they still would have returned it. And the judges never have to pay from there, back in according to either version. So come to Gibran and says, Amar of Yosef, new case. Armalta de Zabina. Let's say you have a almana. She sells a property right from the estate of her husband. And she sells it, let's say, by Ahrayut. What does Ahrayut mean? She takes responsibility. She says, listen, the buyer says, listen, what's my guarantee? Maybe somebody's going to come along and take it from me. She says, don't worry, it's guaranteed. Somebody comes and takes it from me, we'll compensate you. Now, who's the compensation on? So the Gemara says, Achrayut ayetmeh. But died. The Achrayut is on the Yitomim. Which means she's not obligated to guarantee the property. The Yitomim owe her the property. So therefore, when she's selling the property, and she's selling with Achrayut, now let's say if something happens to that field, they cannot come to the almana, or if they do come to the almana, what is she going to say? Go to the yitomim. It's their responsibility. They had to pay me, so therefore it's the yitomim's responsibility to take care of the field. She achrayut ayetme. See that she in nimseta sade gezula. Let's say they found the field was stolen, or mishubedet laacher. Or let's say there was a lien on it from somebody else. Vetarfa min alokeiach bechobo. Now the guy went to the lokeiach, to the buyer. And he took it, they took the field. Hosea lokeh ala yitomim. Why? Sha almana shaliyah shal yitomim aita. That's right. The almana is just a shaliyah from the yitomim. Not only that, the Gemara says, Ubed din dezabne dezabin achrayut ayatmeh. Even when Bet din sells a field on behalf of the almana or whatever it is, or a staff, Bet din sells a field for yitomim, it's the yitomim's field. And therefore, when they sell it, achrayut, the buyer of the field doesn't go to Betin. The buyer of the field goes back to the Yitomim. Same thing. Lashi. Vechen Betin had the Zabin, Sadi Yitomim, the Mazona Isha. Let's say they're selling it, let's say, to feed the lady, because the lady needs Mezonot. Vabanot, Achrayut Ayatmeh. Good, Achrayut is on the Yitomim. Gemara says, Peshita. Isn't that Peshut? It's their field. Who do you want to go after? Betin? You want to go after the Admana? It's not a field. You go after the one that owns the field. So comes Gemara, what's the Hadush? Kabbalah says, Almana lo estadichale. I don't need the hadush for Almana. I need the hadush for Betin. Ki yitzarich le bedina. The Hiddush is bedina. Amar dekema, I would have thought, kol dezavin me bedina, adatal le mepak le kalahu dezavin. I would have said like this. When Betin is selling an item, there's a call.
Rumor?
There's, not rumors. There's noise. Everybody knows when Betin is selling fields. It's well known. And therefore, you could have argued that when they're selling a field that is Betin, the buyer assumes that what? Everybody must know about this field over here. And therefore, as if they're... Their claim now could be stronger, that if somebody's going to come now and claim that they have a rights on this field, they could come along to Beit Din and say, hey, listen, we bought it from you. Everybody knew about it, which is we assumed that there was no claims on this field over here because there was a call. And if we're coming after you, I might have thought that it's the onus is on Beit Din, because the guy could assume when he's buying something from Beit Din, where everybody knows about it, if somebody had a claim, they would have came forward. The fact that they didn't claim come forward, so therefore they bought it assuming that nothing's wrong with the field. And if something now is wrong, that it's stolen or something like that, they could come claim it against the Beit Din. Kamash ma'alan, that what? Still, even when Beit Din sells an item, you can only go against the Yitro. Look at Rashi. Kod zabin mebedin. Anybody that buys something from Beit Din, adata denafik lekalazvin. He bought it on the understand that what? The noise goes out, but the rumor goes out, like you said, that everybody knows the field is sold. The fish in mukhrin bakhraza. They sell bakhraza, like we learned 30 days before, they announced there's a field being sold. Ubatua halokeah, the lokeah is certain. She'ilu haya alea askin, if there was issues with this field, hayu yotzinu me'ar'irin. Hilkak shelo ba'achrayut hu lokeah, which means when he's buying this field over here, it's as if he's assuming he's buying it, which means with no responsibility. Meaning, you cannot take this field away from me. It's as if the sale is, it's my field, it's binding, nobody can take the field away from me. Kamash ma'alan, that even when Beit Din sells a field, there is going to be claims against it. The field is taken away, and of course the Yitomim will still have to make the payment. Which normally there's a rule. When a person sells a field, Mefashim explain like this. Tzai Rai Deshtar. Okay, and I'm selling a field. And in the start of the sale, it didn't say that there's ahrayut. That's the advantage of the buyer, that there's ahrayut. If something happens, if I'm coming back to you to get my field back. So normally we say if ahrayut was not written in a shtar, the language was ahrayut ta'ut sofer. We say, mistamar, the sofer made a mistake and he didn't put ahrayut, because who's going to buy a field without nachlayut? So they say, right, it was just forgotten like that. Now, b'mekresh shekonet hakaka mebeit din, but in the case where, let's say, you're buying a field from Beit Din, haya makom lomar she'achen lo ta'od achlayut al mechira. I would say maybe by Beit Din, there's no achlayut unless you actually explicitly write it. Why? Because the assumption is when a guy's buying from Beit Din, it's clean. Therefore, I didn't write achlayut because I don't think there's achlayut. I don't need achlayut in this field over here. Kamash, and therefore what? I would have thought that that's the hadush of the Gemara. It's really to the disadvantage of the buyer. So I would have thought, since I'm buying from Beit Din, if they wrote a shtar and did not write the words achlayut, I would have said in this case over here is dafka, because you bought it from Beit Din. And therefore the guy was willing to buy it without achrayut, because he assumed that if Beit Din was selling it, nobody's coming after the field, it's well known. Kamash ma'alan, that even when you're buying from Beit Din, even though the shtar did not say achrayut, he's buying it with achrayut, if we can go after the yetomim. Understand why I would think that there wouldn't be no achrayut? Because if I'm buying from Beit Din, I could argue and say, listen, Beit Din's selling it, they've been talking about this field for 30 days, everybody in the community heard about the field, that it's for sale. If anybody had any claims on it, anybody thought it was stolen, they would have stepped forward. Now Beit Din gives me the shtar, we're selling you this field of it, and there's no word of achrayut. You know what I would say? Yeah, there's no achrayut in this case over here, which means the guy's buying it on condition that even if somebody comes and steals it, it's my loss, because I didn't even anticipate that such a thing was going to happen. Kamash ma'alan, even when you're selling with Beit Din, if the word achlayut is not written in the shtar, it's as if it's written in the shtar, and is considered like a ta'ut sofer, and therefore, if somebody comes after the field, they can go after the yetomim. That is the chidush of the Gemara. Comes the Gemara, continues. Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel. Omer, what do we say in the Mishnah? If they make a mistake, even more than a shtut, Mikran Kayam. Imken ma kawah bedin yafeh. But the question is, there has to be a certain limit. When they quote the Rashbag, how much could they make a mistake? Ad kama. So the Gemara says, ve'ad kama. You know, how much leeway do you give Beit Din in devaluating or over-evaluating a field? Amaravuna bariuda marav sheshat ad palga, which means until half the value. They devaluated it by half, or they doubled it. That's already, you know, we're going to consider mekachtaut. That's already, even Beti doesn't have that flexibility. The Gemara says, "Tanya namehachim ebraita to support us." Amar Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel, Beit Din shemakru shave matayim b'maneh. Right, they sold something that was worth 200. They sold it for 100, which means they devaluated it by half. Or shave maneh b'batayim. They sold an item that was worth 100 for 200. Mechran kayam. It means up to half. Anything more than half already, Mechram Batil, even according to Rashbag. So they were careful to give that half point. Anything more than that is going to be Batil. Comes the Gemara, continues. Amar HaMemor, B'Shemed Rav Yosef, Betin Shemachru Belo Hakraza. Let's say Betin selling the Nechasim of the Yetumim. Okay? And they didn't sell the Hakraza. They didn't announce it to the people first that they're selling it. That's already considered that they made a mistake on a Befirush Mishnah that says you have to make Akhraza V'chozin. And the deen is, the sale is nullified. And it's, meaning there's some Mishnah out there in Shas that tells us clearly, when Beit Din selling items of the Yetomim, you need Akhraza. And if they don't make Akhraza, it's considered they made a mistake on an explicit Mishnah, and therefore the sale is nullified. Now, where's this Bifirush Mishnah that says Beti needs a Yachrasha? So it says, Na'asu Vadaitau. What going even further? What do you mean? It's like they made a mistake in the Mishnah. It's Vadai they made a mistake in the Mishnah. Because it's a Bifirush Mishnah. It's not like as if they made a mistake in the Dvar Mishnah. It's they did make a mistake in the Dvar Mishnah. Why? What does it say? Ditnan, it says in Masechet Erchin, Shum Hayetomim. They're making a shuma, an evaluation on the nechasim of the yetumim, and let's say they're selling in order to pay, let's say, debt. So the Betin steps in and makes the evaluation to sell, right? So what does it say? Shiloshim yom. 30 days. What does 30 days mean? Hakhraza has got to be for 30 days. They got to announce it to the whole sibur, these properties up for sale, in order to get the best price. The shuma hekdesh, let's say they're selling properties that belong to the Beit HaMikdash, hekdesh, in order to, let's say, pay for the maintenance of the Beit HaMikdash, so they can buy it. What do? They need their liquid. So they sell properties of Hekdesh in order to get the cash, in order to fund the Beit HaMikdash. So Shum Hekdesh Shishim Yom. That's got already got announced for 60 days. Umachrizim Baboker Uba'irib. And the Dayanim have to announce in the morning and in the evening that the fields are for sale. So you see why it's a Bifirush Mishnah. That Shum HaDayanim is 30 days. So therefore, if the Dayanim, when they're evaluating the fields of Tumim, if they don't do Akhraza, why did you say, it's as if they were Tumim Bar Mishnah? They explicitly went against the Mishnah. It's a Mifirush Mishnah and Erchin. Kabbalah says, Imahi, if you're just relying on that Mishnah, Hava Mina Hanimile Shaliyah, which means, I would say that Mishnah, it doesn't say really that it's Dayanim. It says Shum Hayetumim. Now, I don't know who's selling. I could argue that Mishnah is talking about where, let's say, a Shaliyah is selling on behalf of the Yetomim. Then you're going to need what? Hakhraza for 30 days. Aval, Betin, lo. But maybe Betin will come along and say, maybe they're more responsible, they don't need Hakhraza. Kamash ma'alan, that you're right. Even though it's not a Bifirush Mishnah, it's Na'asu, it's as if they went against a Mishnah, and therefore the Mekah is going to be Batel. Because from the Mishnah you have no explicit language that it's Betin. I could argue that's only to Mare Shaliyah, that's all on account of the Yetomim. Kamash ma'alan, that even a Beti needs a Hakhraza, so therefore it's considered as if they went against a Mishnah. Comes to Gabaran, says, Etibe Rav Asher Amemur. Okay, so he asks a question to Amemur. Amemur is the one that said if Beti doesn't make a Hakhraza, the Mecca is Batel. So Eti Verav Shalamemo, we learned in Amishna Shum Adayanim, Shepihato, Shetut, O Etiru Shetut, Mechran Batel. Right? If they went over a shtut or less than a shtut, Mechran Batel. Implying what? Has Shaveh B'Shaveh, Mechran Kayam. But if they sold it for fair market value, the Mechir is Kayam. Now, my love, the lo achruz, and we're assuming over here that what there was no hakraza, and still you say what? It's kayam. So you see, I mean, you're wrong. Betin doesn't need hakraza. As long as they get the right price, they're okay. So what do you tell me that if they didn't make hakraza, the thing is batel? Who told you to learn the Mishnah like that? Lo, medachruz. The case of Mishnah, they made hakraza, even though I didn't say it. But that's what we learn. They made hakraza and finished. Gemara says can't be. Ham the sefa bede achruz, haver resha bede lo achruz. From the fact that the end of the Mishnah is talking about where there was hakraza, must be the resha. This case of the Mishnah is talking about where there was no hakraza. Where was the sefa? Dektani sefa im asu igeret bikoret. Very good. What was the end of the Mishnah? If they made an investigation on the field, what's the investigation we said? Hakhraza, afilu maklu shaveh b'maneh b'matah b'shaveh b'matah b'maneh, mechran kayam. Adrabah, from the Mishnah's language, it's mashma that the Resha said that there was no hakhraza. Why? Because the Sefa says, according to Hakamim, he made a devaluation, shtut, one shtut, batel. Oh, but if there was hakhraza, then already, no matter what their mistake is, you assume that was the bargain because they made akhraza, mechran kayam. That means the Resha is talking about no akhraza. And what do you see over here? The only reason why no akhraza was no good because they were off a shtut or more than a shtut. But if they got the fair market value without akhraza, mechran kayam. Amemor, what are you talking about? You came along and said a betin sells a property without akhraza. It's batel, it's not mashal, like that's not Mishnah. So the Gemara says, Ela le'olam bidilo akhruz. I'll tell you, really, you're right. The Mishnah is talking about there was no akhraza. Berakashya. Kan bedvarim shemachrizin alein. Kan bedvarim she'en machrizin alein. Depends. Our Mishnah was talking about items that don't need akhraza. Amemor was talking about items that need akhraza. What's the item that needs akhraza, for example? A field. Field, you need to announce 30 days before you sell it. That's what Amemor said. Betin doesn't do that. The sale is batel. Mm-hmm. Our Mishnah, that was master, if they sold it for fair market value, whatever they were selling, that it's okay even without hakhraza, that's so are items that do not need hakhraza. Now, what's an asset that would not need hakhraza? So the Gemara says, ve'elu hen she'en machrizim alehem. Ha'avadim bedvarim she'en machrizim alehem. Ve'elu hen devarim she'en machrizim alehem. Ha'avadim ve'metaltelin. Vashtarot. Now, what's the reason over here? So the Gemara says, Avadim ta'amamai. What's the reason, Avadim, you don't announce? Shim yishmi'u v'yibrihu. Could they run away? You're going to have now an announcement, Rabotai, we're selling an Avid. You're going to go now for 30 days. The guy's a chance to escape. You want to make the sale as quick as possible. You don't give a chance to escape. Metaltelin u'shtarot. What's the reason why metaltelin and if you're selling, let's say, shtarot? How come you don't announce it? Shimmi yiganbu. You're worried it might get stolen. Because what's going to happen? When you make akhraza, everybody's coming along to look at the goods. So they're inviting everybody to come to the house to look at the stuff. So what's going to happen? Someone's going to steal it. So therefore, metatni, the removables, or star, the guy can put it in his pocket. So therefore, we don't want to give it a chance to forget about. You don't announce these things over here. Bitting just puts it up for sale, and that's it. So that's what our Mishnah was talking about. When our Mishnah came along and said that Bitting came along and they sold it for more than the shtut, he was talking about items that do not need a hakhraza. That's why the din of the Mishnah is what? If they sold it for fair market value, it's a sale. And Amemor was talking about what? Fields. Fields already, you need akhraza. That's why if you didn't make akhraza, we say it's going to be batel.
Comes the Gemara and continues. Ve'iba et ema. Kan b'sha'a she'machrizim. Kan b'sha'a she'en machrizim. It depends. Depends. Certain items, you have to be machriz. And certain items, you don't have to be machriz. But to be more accurate, the Gemara is saying, Kan b'sha'a she'machrizim, at a time that you're being machriz, and kan is b'sha'a she'en machrizim, that you do not have to be machriz. For example, the amre nehar de'e. The rabbis of nehar de'a said, lecharga is for the head tax. Let's say somebody owes the tax to the king. Okay? Let's say the Yitumim owe the tax. So they want to sell the Yitumim's field in order to pay the government this head tax over here. So it says, Lecharga, for the head tax was paid to the government, Limzone, but that's for the Mizonot of the Almana, she wants to sustain herself, Velikbura, or let's say for burial, they want to bury the father that passed away, the one that inherited all the fields, they need to pay for his burial, all these items, the essence of speed is key. You need to do these things fast. So the din is, Mizabninan Belo Akhrasta. You're allowed to sell for these items even without a akhraza. Why? Well, understanding, because the government, you don't want to delay them. You want to pay it very quickly. So otherwise, they can get you in trouble. So therefore, they sell the fields immediately and just pay the head tax. Nizonot, it's obvious. You don't want the lady to starve. Sell the fields immediately. And kivura, because kivodamit, you don't want to delay the funeral. So therefore, you sell these things even without a hakraza. So that's what the Mishnah was talking about. Our Mishnah said you could sell something without a hakraza. It's talking about for these situations. Comes the Gemara and says, depends what the minhag of the places. Certain places they had a minhag to sell with akhraza, and some places no minhag. The Amar of Nachman me'olam lo asu igeret bikoret b'nehardea. In the Hardea, for example, they would never sell fields with a igeret bikoret. We said that's a document of inspection, which means 30-day inspection to check the price of the fields. Why didn't they sell it in the Hardea with akhraza? Savur mine mishum de bikieh bishuma. They thought because in the Hardea they were expert appraisers, and therefore they didn't need to take 30 days to start giving the field to other people to announce it. The whole reason we understood to announce it was so you get the right price. So we thought in the Hardea the reason why you didn't have to do akhraza is because they were expert appraisers; they knew exactly the prices. Amad Rav Yosef bar Min Yomer lididi mefar sheli mined Rav Nachman. No, I have a different reason. I heard from Rav Nachman. Mishum dekaru lehu bene achlen nichse te achrazta. Because if you're going to make achraza, the person that's selling the field is going to, or actually the one that's buying the field is going to get a reputation. What's his reputation going to be? The guy that's eating the fields that they made achraza on. Now, what's so bad about such a reputation? Rashi, mishum dekaru lehu. Genai v'herpai lahem kishkonim nechassim shebetin mochrim lefi shemachmat dohak shanoshe lochetz tayetomim o etalove lochem alekuchot bezol mebazim otam vekonim lahem ochle sadot achraza. Why are you selling fields of yetomim? Generally speaking, they need the money. Either they owe money, or they have to. Somebody is like pressuring them. So therefore, they're usually selling the fields of the yetomim under pressure. And therefore, they want to make the sale as quiet as possible. Because if they start making akhraza, the guy that buys the fields from the Yitomim, what are the people going to say? Look what type of guy this is. You buy under pressure, Yitomim need the money, right? So you come along now and you take an advantage. So therefore, they didn't want to make akhraza in Arda'a, not to embarrass the buyers. Because the people would give them a reputation now. You're the Bnei Achle, you're the ones that are eating the fields that were made Akhraza. So that's the case of Amishnah. Amishnah said that if you didn't make Akhraza, it stands. So when the Menag was out to make Akhraza. Memorda said if you didn't make Akhraza, the sale is null. That's the places where they did make Akhraza. So it all depends on what the Menag of the Makom is. Comes goes Amar of Yehuda, Amar Shemuel, Metaltelin Shel Yetumim. The metaltelin, the movables of the yetumim, shamin otan umochrim otam the altar, able to evaluate them and you sell them immediately. As she says, samuch lemitat avihem shelo yirkebu. We have certain metaltelin, for example, let's say like fruit. Okay, now if you're not going to sell the fruit immediately, you start making pachraza, the thing's going to spoil. These are perishable items, so therefore the deen is on perishable items of the yetumim. You sell them immediately in order to get the money, in order to, and you buy a field with it, or you do something else with it, but you could unload it immediately. The altar. Rav Chazda Amar Avimi Mochrin Otam Leshevakim. And one rabbi says, no, you wait until you can sell it to the marketplace. Which when the fruit market comes to town,
That's when you sell the food, because at the market you're going to get the best price. So one rabbi says sell it immediately. One rabbi says wait until the market. There's no machloket. If the market is close, which means the krav shuka, wait till the market. But if the market is far out, don't wait till the market, because what's going to happen? Things are going to spoil by then. Then everybody sell it just immediately, just to the regular vendors. Don't wait until the market. So it depends if it's rahog kor of nashi, the mikrav shuka, yomad shuka. It seems there was a certain day, like the show, that they used to come and all and sell the buy the fruits and stuff like that. So if the yomad shuka is close, of course wait for that. If not, not avkana, rabbi had shikra, avkana had in his hand shikra like beer, derav misharshia bar chilkae yatma of. Rav Misharshia ben Chilkae Yatma, who was a Yatom, Sheya ad Regla. He waited to sell it until the Regel. It seems on the Regel there was a lot of customers that want to buy beer, things like that. So he wanted to get a good price. Amar, he said, Afagav, then I filed by Itzitzta. Even though by waiting to the Regel, it's become a little vinegary, which means the potency of the beer was compromised. At least it doesn't matter. Maite zuza harifa, but they're going to give me good money. They're going to give me literally. She says b'maher lavo. They're going to give me fast money. Nashi, why? The fishakos sirichin nachen. Everybody needs beer. Anav umivin ma'ot, and they have money. It's cash only. V'en makifil nim ba'ashrei. They're not going to pay on credit. And how everybody has money to spend for the beer. So he says, you know what? Even though maybe the quality of the beer went down by waiting until the regel, but I know I'm gonna get the price. I'm gonna get paid immediately. Last story of the Gemara. Ravina avabiyade hamra. Ravina had in his hands wine. The Ravina zute yatma. That they call him Ravina zute. Ravina, the small one. Yatma was yatom. Bar achte, who was the his nephew. The son of his sister. And he also had wine. Now, Ravina himself had his own personal stock of wine. So he was taking his own wine to a place called Sikhra. He needed to take a boat there to get to the place of Sikhra to sell his wine. It seems that that's where the wine was sold. That was the place. She says, Shem Makom. So Ravina came to Rav Asher. He says, can I bring the wine of the Yatom with me? Oh, what's the question? Why not? Question is, maybe the boat is going to sink. And therefore, I'm putting the money of the Yatomim at risk. Which means, it's one thing to bring my wine and take the risk on the boat sinking. But can I put the money of the Yatomim at risk as well? Amar le, he told him, Zil, go. Lo adif medidach. Their wine is not better than yours. Which means, if you're putting yours at risk, right, you're taking a chance to sell it. You're doing it for their benefits. So therefore, you can take the chance, and then you can go sell it. As she says, "Ma'ulam tu yeshesh lahush shelut ba'asefina." You have to be concerned that the boat might not sink. So I go, "Don't worry about it. It's a calculated risk, and therefore, just like you're allowed to sell your own wine like that, you can take the wine of the Yatomim and bring it to that place." Amen. Amen.